Evening, welcome to the One Another Place, a radio show by Amazing Grace Community Church. This is Pastor Mark. I'm glad that you're tuning in this evening. I pray that this word this evening will build you up and edify you, encourage you, and motivate you. This evening we're going to be on Romans 14 again. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 23. I mentioned on our last show, Romans 14 strikes me as the one another chapter. And it shows how we Christians are to think of one another and love one another. We talked last time about how each of us will stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves, our walk of faith. We're not speaking about standing before Him in terms of salvation, but rather, what did we do with our salvation? And that would be the works, the deeds, and things like that that come from faith. In James, he talks a lot about that, works and faith and works. And we talked about the parable of the servants or talents last week, and we want to continue on with Romans 14, verses 13 through 23. And I want to say that the title of this message is Edify One Another. Edify One Another. Edify is not a word that you use commonly, and it means to build up. And truly, that's the purpose of our Christian fellowship, especially when we gather together at a local church. We should be seeking to build one another up. So often, churches can degrade into cultures, environments, atmospheres that people are tearing each other up. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus wants for us. Well, the 4 points that these verses will bring out are: Christians affect each other, Christians must have priorities, Christians must help each other grow, and Christians should not force their opinions on others. Let's begin with the first one: Christians affect each other. We're going to read verses 13 through 15 in chapter 14 of Romans. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this: not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord that Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Well, this is maybe refreshing to some and maybe challenging to others. We touched a little bit on the last couple installments of the One Another Place that we shouldn't judge one another, largely because it's our relationship directly with the Lord. We're accountable only to the Lord. He's going to judge our works. But Paul develops that thought, that message a little bit. And he begins with this verse 13. Yeah, sure. Therefore, we're not to judge one another anymore. So let's stop doing it. And then let's switch tracks. Let's rather determine to do this: not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So you see what he just did? He said, not only are you not to judge, and, you know, that's kind of how we are thinking about one another, interacting with one another, but you're to go beyond that. You're to decide not to put a stumbling block in the other person's way. So he's starting to open up this concept that we need to think about others before ourselves. We need to decide not to put a stumbling block in front of the other person. What's a stumbling block? A stumbling block is anything that will trip the other person's up in their faith, in their walk, they may still be struggling or just newly out of a struggle of a temptation in life, such as the temptation to abuse substances, or a temptation of anger, a temptation of adultery. And we need to determine not to put something in front of them that will cause them to stumble in sin. And even those things that are debatable, you know, things of liberty. We talked last installment or two, and we'll do it again a little bit this morning, about liberty. You know, liberty, we have a Christian liberty, and that means there are things that are debatable, things that are not outright sin. And Paul uses the example that the Jews were familiar with, and that had to do with food and drink and ceremonial law. And let's say one person has a conviction that they don't want to eat pork, or they don't even want to eat meat at all. And the other person says, "Oh man, you're being ridiculous. You know, we've been released from that law. You can eat pork. You can eat meat. You don't have to eat just vegetables." And then we begin to pressure them and put them down, or maybe even eat those things in front of them. That's what we're talking about. We're putting a stumbling block in front of them. You know, last installment we talked about allowing them to grow in their personal conviction and in their faith on these issues. So not only do we allow them to grow in it, we need to decide not to trip them up, not to push them or pressure them on these issues. You know, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that's what we're talking about this evening, edifying, building up one another. We affect each other. Don't we know that? You know, Christians are very passionate people, and that can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing, but we affect each other. So if you are the type who've really studied the Bible and you have this great knowledge, you know all the scriptures, you know all the principles, you know the Bible back and forth, you have this great knowledge, maybe you've even been to seminary, Bible college, maybe you've been a Christian 20 or 30 years studying the Bible, and you have this great knowledge. You can use that knowledge as a stumbling stone on your brother or sister, because you're putting them down, because you're not allowing them to grow. You're not teaching or building up with the attitude of love. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, it talks about you can have all of these things. You can have all of the knowledge, but if you have not love, you are nothing. You're a clanging gong or a cymbal. Well, in the same way, legalism and liberty, which are two opposite ends of the spectrum, can be stumbling stones. So one person might be very legalistic and really into, you know, the Old Testament law, and they have some certain convictions, and maybe they're just a little too judgmental, too legalistic, and that can be a stumbling stone for somebody. And then there's many other people who are very free with their Christianity, and they're very comfortable with the Christian liberty that we have. And yet that can be a stumbling block for others, especially the legalists. And I find that both legalists and libertines are often at each other's throats. And what really Paul's trying to get us to do is to come to the middle, to think about how we affect each other and determine not to put a stumbling block in front of the other. So we need to let people grow in liberty at their own pace. Encourage them. Don't impede them. Don't try to trip them up. Try to determine which things are of the Bible and which things are things of liberty. For example, the Bible doesn't say you must come to church in a three-piece suit. So if you want to come in a three-piece suit, no problem. But don't judge someone because they don't come to church in a three-piece suit. And if somebody wants to come to church in jeans or shorts, let them come. Don't judge them on that. Let each person's conviction grow. And it's okay to share with each other why you're doing the things that you are, but don't use it as a weapon. Don't build it up into theology, because it's not. It's a debatable thing. It's a thing of liberty. If you find that you lean more towards the legalistic end of the spectrum, I can give you just a great way to have peace, and that is, don't underestimate God's grace. Don't accuse your brother or sister of abusing grace, because grace is more powerful than we give it credit for. Don't underestimate God's grace. If you look at 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 23, so if you're in the book of Romans, you go one book to the right, 1 Corinthians 10, and I want to read a few verses starting with verse 23. And this deals with the law of love in relation to eating and drinking, which is the example that Paul uses for the Jews and the Gentiles back then. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. There's that word again, edify, build up. Verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience's sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. If one of the believers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience's sake. But if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience' sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether, then, you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. That was Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 through 33. So you see, this is quite a challenge. And you know, it's not a challenge of knowledge. It's a challenge of faith. It's a challenge of obedience. Every one of us can be challenged by this, and every one of us can achieve this. We don't have to go to seminary to learn this. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of faith. Well, Paul continues, and this is brings us to our next point, that Christians should have priorities. And by this, I mean things that must come first, things that are more important, and other things that we can get to, but maybe they're not the first thing on the list. But let us read verses 16 through 18 in Romans 14. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Well, this, I guess, could be paraphrased or summarized as rules or religion versus relationship. You know, that's a big catchphrase in our society today. You know, people will say, I'm not into religion, but I love Jesus. I'm not into rules, but I'm into relationship. So if you've heard that, maybe that helps you understand what people are trying to communicate. And the Jews, their whole culture was formed around the rules that God gave them, which he said are holy. Even Jesus said they're holy. These are rules that he gave them to live by. And if they would, their life would be blessed. But if they wouldn't, they would suffer. And of course, the Jews said, we won't walk in those. I know that you've given us life in abundance, and you've also put before us the choice of death and adversity, but we're not going to walk in life in abundance. And we scratch our heads wondering why. But even in our current society today, we have a lot of these so-called Christian rules, such as, as I used the example earlier, they've got to go to church in a three-piece suit, or you can't listen to secular music, you can't watch secular movies. In fact, you're not even supposed to go to the movies. You can't dance, you can't play cards, on and on. There's all kinds of things. You can't sing contemporary Christian music in church. You need to sing out of a hymnal. Some go even further. They say that you can't even use instruments in church service because that's ungodly. Well, we have all of these rules, and they tend to split us apart, don't they? If you look at churches that have a lot of dissension, or even have gone so far as church splits, it's usually not over who is Lord and King, but rather, what clothes are they wearing? What music are they playing? What color is the carpet? And these things are matters of Christian liberty. So Paul is trying to teach us, and we need to really accept this, that a proper reflection of Christian life is this. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? I know many of the listeners listening right now who are Christians, they maybe smoke and drink, and not to excess, and they're constantly judged on it. Well, sure, it would be great if those things were not in their life, but those of us Christians who do not do those things, we need to not judge those people. Allow them to grow in their own conviction, and they're going to grow in their conviction as they get to know Jesus Christ, not as they listen to you badger them about all the rules and how they are a carnal Christian. Well, getting back to these three things, righteousness, peace, and joy. The righteousness, what that is spoken of here, is Christ's righteousness, not ours. We can never be righteous without Christ. Christ puts his righteousness on us. Christ puts his robes of righteousness on us. It puts his clothing on us, and that's what makes us righteous, and that's by faith. It's not by our actions and all of these good things that we do. I know that you've heard that if you want to be a good Christian, you have to meet all of these rules, and that's not true. We should be happy that we're Christians. We should be living the Christian life just filled with peace and joy. We should not be beat down and felt and feel persecuted by our brothers and sisters. The world will persecute us, yeah, but our brothers and sisters should not be doing that. And this is where we need to have priorities. Maybe you are of the conviction that you should go to church with a three-piece suit, and that you don't want to sing contemporary Christian music. Fine and good. But if your brother or sister enjoys coming to church casually and singing contemporary Christian music, you should not judge them. Allow each other to grow in your personal conviction. Find ways to build one another up. Be at peace. Do not think that you're righteous of your own acts. Our righteousness, our personal acts of righteousness, are but filthy rags. Let us continue on. The next point is that Christians must help each other grow. Verses 19 through 21 in Romans 14. So then, in other words, he's saying, so then, if we've followed through all these other verses, what are we going to do now? So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. So you see, this is kind of, maybe I got ahead of myself a little bit on that last point, but We see it repeated here. Pursue the things that would make for peace. Okay? So you have a conviction, a Christian conviction. And if you keep pushing that on your brother or sister, are you pursuing peace? No way. How do we pursue peace? We find out what's important to our brother or sister. We support them in it. We love them. And we allow for us to have different convictions and disagreement. But at the same time, we're at peace with each other. And we find ways to build one another up. Let's say that your brother or sister likes contemporary Christian music in church, and you like singing out of hymnals. But yet, you notice that your brother or sister, the contemporary Christian, is a good singer. And maybe they play guitar really well. Well, compliment them on them. Find out a little bit about why they do and what they do and what they enjoy and compliment. Build them up. Encourage them. Tell them how good a job they do at that. Because we're pursuing peace. Find ways to build one another up. And then it goes to the contrast in verse 20. Do not tear down the work of God. Do you realize that each of us are a work in progress? We are the work of God. God is building us up. He's showing us how to live like Christ. And therefore, our brother or sister that we're trying to judge is a work of God. So we're not to tear it down. Why would we want to tear down a work of God? If we're tearing down a work of God, we're working against God, aren't we? I know that there are many people that are really into some of the messianic Jewish Judaism, and they are really adamant that we must worship on the seventh day, we must keep the Sabbath, and we must do all of these things. Well, they're you know, from a Christian liberty standpoint, they're backsliding. They're reverting back to Judaism, which never worked. But if you're a Christian who's comfortable with Christian liberty, you know, can we still love them? Can we find a way to build them up? Can we find a way to pursue peace with them? I think we can. It's not easy, and we can only do it with the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Well, the next point is that Christians must not force our opinions on one another. And we have been touching into that already. But as we transition from our previous point into this new point, recognize that each of us is on a journey of faith. And some might be what we call weak believers or new believers or people that haven't fully surrendered their life to Christ and all that they do. And then we have strong believers, and we all know those people. They're the ones that are just filled with faith, and when we think about them and get involved with them, we just know that their faith is so strong. Well, both the strong believer and the weak believer need to grow. The strong believer needs to grow in love, and the weak believer needs to grow in knowledge. So long as a brother is weak in the faith, we must lovingly deal with him in his immaturity. But if we really love him, we will help him to grow. So here again, we don't want to walk around being proud of being a weak believer, being proud of only being in Christian liberty, not taking the time to learn and gain knowledge. Even if you find yourself on that end of the spectrum, you still need to pursue the things of God, pursue biblical knowledge. And if you don't do that, it's hard to know whether something is an opinion or if something is a biblical principle. And that's where we begin our point here in verses 22 and 23 of Romans 14. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Oh, I'll get this one. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Woo! You realize that? whatever is not from faith is sin. We could be thinking we're spouting out all these great Christian principles and rules and commandments, and we're doing them, but we're in our heart, we're just doing it for show. We're doing it to strut around showing others how great a Christian we are. It's not really from faith. It's from obligation. It's from pride. It's from trying to show others that we're this great Christian. And it's not from faith. And God knows whether it is or it isn't. We cannot hide those things from God. You know, there are certain truths that all Christians must accept because they are the foundation for the faith. But there are areas of honest disagreement, and they must not be made a test of fellowship. And I've been speaking about some of those things. So if we would just, as a Christian church, be peaceful, filled with joy, understanding that righteousness comes from faith, comes from Christ, and love one another, and not make the things that are of Christian liberty, the things that are debatable, a test of fellowship, a test of whether we're going to love them and fellowship with them. You know, I find it extremely challenging here in Pagosa Springs, Aspen Springs specifically, that some people will not come to church because there's another person that they have a grudge with going to that church. They won't come to church because they don't agree with that other person's walk of faith. It's not, and should that be? No. This is where we are not having the right priorities that we talked about. That's getting to be religion and not relationship. And more than likely, what has happened in that relationship is that it's a matter of opinion on something that they're fighting over that has separated them, and they have let that become a stumbling block. They've let that become a divide between them. If you have a sincere conviction from God about a matter, don't try to force everybody else to accept it. Because no Christian can borrow another Christian's convictions and be honest in his Christian life. You see how that works? Our faith is individual. It's between us and the Lord. And you may be strongly convicted about something, and you can't force somebody else to take it on if they don't really believe it, if they don't have faith in that matter. You can communicate it to them. You can explain to them why you think it's a good thing, and they might see the wisdom in it, and they might say, yeah, that's for me. But they might say, I don't know, brother. I think you're a little off, gone to seed there on that. That's okay. Let them grow in their own conviction. Because unless he can hold them and practice them by faith, he's sinning. Even if a person's convictions are immature, he must never violate his conscience. Well, these are some great challenges for us. When it said in verse 22, happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. You see, that's what we're talking about. If I tell my brother or sister, you have to come to church in a really nice dress or a three-piece suit, or you are being ungodly, and they don't want to be ungodly, and they don't really know, but they're just going to say, well, this other brother, you know, he's really strong in his faith, so I better just give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he's talking about. I'm coming to church in a three-piece suit. But all the while, you're uncomfortable, and you're fighting in your spirit about whether you should really be in the suit, why you have to come to church in the suit, why can't we come to church in jeans or shorts? You're not doing it from faith. You're doing it from peer pressure. You know, peer pressure exists in the Christian church. There are those who just push their opinions on their brother and sister, and that's peer pressure. And it should not be. We should be walking in righteousness that comes with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope this evening's message has challenged you. And whether you're on the legalistic end of the spectrum or the libertine end of the spectrum. I hope that you might pursue knowledge or you might pursue love just a little bit more with the basic premise to edify one another, to build one another up, that your Christian life might be filled with peace and joy and not a battle, a spiritual battle in your own heart over rules and whether you are righteous and whether you're making God happy. Well, God bless you this evening. We're at AmazingGraceCO.org on the internet. Our phone number is there. It's 970-444-2111. And our Sunday morning services are at 10. Come as you are, Jesus will do the rest. And if you come, my wife cooks up just a great little breakfast. So come on in and have some breakfast with us, and then let us worship the Lord. Well, God bless you.